You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Number one singer of all time, the queen of soul, officially. There is and only ever will be one Aretha Franklin. And we're here today talking about this 8-part miniseries on National Geographic and Hulu called, in their Genius series called Genius, Aretha Franklin. And it is starring the Oscar-nominated Cynthia Erivo. Did I get that right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, starring as Aretha Franklin. And here to talk about it with me is the lovely Ms. Melina.
Hello.
And Jamarco.
Hello.
And I don't know, who's this other guy? Elliot. Who let you in here, Elliot? My God.
Hello. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah. I could not identify by the name you chose.
So what did you guys think about this? I thought it was pretty good. I don't know how accurate it is, because I guess we should get this out of the way right off the bat. That rather famously, Aretha Franklin's family came out right away and said, "We wash our hands of this. Nobody should watch this," because they didn't contact the family. The family apparently reached out to the producers of the show and were told, "No, that's okay." Although in some later readings that I did, apparently it was a bit of a miscommunication kerfluffle, because her estate was legally changing hands between different individuals, and it's just a whole mess. But yeah, her family is very anti this, but pro the other Aretha Franklin biopic coming out sometime next year, I think, starring Jennifer Hudson, that is going to be called Respect.
I think it's later this winter, I believe. Later this year.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is because I think the script for that film has been out there since 2008, and Aretha Franklin was alive to give her blessing on it.
Okay.
Obviously, we do not know what the script in terms of changes has gone through since that time. So, I mean, it could be anything from respectable to salacious, but it is, in terms of respectability and in terms of steering clear of being seedy or tabloid, I would say that in all respect to her family, I think that this miniseries ultimately succeeds.
I agree.
Yeah, it had a lot of moments in it that were very, very melodramatic and kind of over the top in how just terrible some aspects of her life were, that would leave you wondering, you know, well, did this really happen, or is this one of the things that they played up for drama that her family was upset about? But yeah, overall, I found it to be a very respectful, somewhat empowering portrayal of her, because they very rarely portrayed her as a victim after a certain point in her life where she just decided, nope, this is me, I'm taking control of this, everyone else, out of the way.
This is the third in the Genius filmography. The first one was about Einstein, I believe, and the second one was about Picasso.
Yeah.
So when I saw that they were making Aretha the latest Genius, at first you would go, why would you go from there to this? But then as the show goes on to explain, when you see her, because the story's split into two parts. It's her rise to, you know, fame as Queen of Soul, and then her childhood growing up singing in the churches for her father and meeting all these great singers and pianist who would go on to, you know, enrich her legacy. But the real genius of that show comes in whenever any scene comes of Aretha, Cynthia Erivo, singing, when she's in the studio working something out on the piano, working something out with the band. You start to see her, because as the music nerd here, sorry, but people weren't singing gospel and R&B and pop in that way. Once you see that on screen, I thought it was portrayed beautifully here. there are certain scenes, certain songs that gave me the chills just watching it, because, you know, her voice was just so magnificent and so poised, and she was such a perfectionist, and you gained a lot of respect, wink wink.
It
was
going to
come up sooner or later. I know, it was coming up. But you really start to see why she is the queen. She's the greatest singer that ever lived. It's going to be, it's difficult whenever you do a show about anyone considered the greatest. You're never going to live up to the full legend. That's why I'm dreading the day we get a Prince movie, because they'll never touch that. But as far as like streaming goes, like, I thought they did a really powerful job taking away the mythology, but also respecting the mythology.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think on the whole, on the respect of whether or not it is 100 or even, you know, 50% accurate to her life, yeah, I'm sorry. No biopic has ever been anywhere near truly accurate in timeline. And
you're going to lose either way.
I've always hated that criticism personally of when someone's like, oh, well, that's not how it happened. And I was like, well, it never is how it happened. It's just a matter of how do you tell a compelling story? And sometimes the story needs to be condensed in a way to make it transfer to film instead of going ahead and reading the book or the autobiography.
Yeah.
It's not going to be behind the music. You gotta make it sell.
Right.
Like, Straight Outta Compton is an action film.
Yeah.
But it's also a great story of N.W.A., so you have to make it sell.
And if you want to read an autobiography about Aretha Franklin, go ahead and read her autobiography, because she does have one.
There you go.
But in terms of this, I thought that this was beautifully structured. I thought that it really, for the most part, nailed a lot of the milestones of her life in a way that really support a very, very powerful finale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, that finale was a gut punch.
Oh, boy. No spoilers, but yeah, when you see it.
If you're at all familiar with Aretha Franklin, you can kind of guess how it ended. If you were, you know, able to keep up with the pop culture consciousness at all, you're probably going to know some of the beats of, you know, later on in her life. But after seeing this whole saga that focuses so strongly on how and why she became the way that she is, to see the, you know, later years of her life just kind of condensed down into the greatest hits, for lack of a better word, of, you know, bigger things that she did later on. Mm-hmm. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I finished the finale about 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you said that you wanted to delay this podcast, I was like, thank God, because no joke, I'm still freaking crying. I was like, I need to come down a little bit after that. Otherwise, I'm going to be bawling all over this podcast. And I really don't want to do that, because that's going to be hard to edit.
Right. What do you think, Melina? It was good. Watch it.
Yeah, that would have been my only thing. I would have been like, just please go see it.
That
sounds like the best review possible.
I guess out of everyone, I probably had the most problems with this. I still ended up liking it, but I don't know how much of this is true and how much of it isn't. I felt like there was probably at least an episode's worth of material that could have been cut from this, or, you know, at least replaced with stuff that sort of fleshes other stuff out.
Yeah.
The relationship with her sisters felt kind of underexplored.
Very much.
It's something that happens in the finale that kind of comes, it comes out of nowhere if you don't, you know what happens to Aretha Franklin's family. Right. For me, they didn't make that connection as well as I would have liked them to. We haven't mentioned Courtney B. Vance in this, and
yes.
Amazing.
Let's talk about
it. Just light up whenever I see Courtney B. Vance.
He plays a fantastic scumbag.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Her relationship with her father is one of the strongest themes throughout this, and he really is, he is a scumbag, and the movie portrays that.
Yeah.
There was much of a move to redeem him, although, you know, given some of the things that he does in here, it's how do you redeem that person? But the show at the end kind of, I mean, again, this is a biopic, so it's true to life. You know, I'm putting heavy air quotes around this.
Yeah.
That relationship and the way that the series kind of treated it at the end.
It didn't hit for you?
I didn't quite buy it.
I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, I binge watched this. So, I mean, like, I was able to watch them all back to back and be able to have like a flow through from one episode to the other instead of having to try to remember what I saw the week before. So the whole relationship with her and her father, it is very complicated, very complex. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that it does not shy away from portraying it as such. And I think that, yeah, I was really with you where I was like, this guy, we find out something about him about halfway through where I thought, okay, that is strikes 1, 2, and 3 right there for me, if there weren't any already, because I'm like, I'm sorry, today that is absolutely, like, well, in any society, that is and should be completely repugnant. But at the same time, I don't think the series excuses that. I think what it does, it shows that this person is a person, and this person, despite their flaws, he really loves his daughter.
I was going to say, going back to just this character, Corny B. Vance, because he's such a captivating, charismatic person in the show. Like, you know, Aretha's father was a preacher. He enjoyed his Saturday nights as much as he loved his Sunday mornings.
Yeah, so, that was a great line.
I liked that line
that was
a lot.
Good one,
so,
yeah.
And you see that, you know, he's a man of God. He's a man of principle. He's a great preacher, but the man likes to smoke, likes to drink, likes to have a good time, likes to party, you know, likes to mess around. And to see that, we never really see that kind of character when it comes to a preacher. You always have to be straight, narrow, and stoic. And this was kind of like a philandering kind of, like, he's a good guy, but he's still a bad person. So, like, as far as Corny B. Vance, like, I've been singing his praises for years. I mean, when you're married to Angela Bassett, you better be one of the best actors in the world. So
you have to deserve her.
You better. You better show up and show out. And, you know, we've seen him, what he can do on the OJ show and just other projects. But here, like you said, he was such a great heart and such a great heel at the same time. You're like, ah, you asshole. And then he was like, oh, well, okay.
You're all right.
You're all right. You cheater.
I actually kind of described it after the fact. I looked over at my boyfriend and I was like, I think that with his character, they pulled a bit of Game of Thrones on
me. There you go.
Where you took somebody who I thought I could never have any sympathy for. And I'm not going to say I liked him at the end, but I'm like, you fleshed him out as a real human being who has good and bad qualities. And it's honest about that. I actually thought that was very brave on their part to do that.
Amen. Yeah, like I'd say more bad than good, but they kept him just nuanced enough so that he registered as a human and not a cartoon character.
There
like
you
don't have to like him. They're just showing you, hey, look, this is what this guy did. This is what he was about. Come up with your own conclusions.
There you go.
And his Wikipedia page isn't super long, and it seemed to confirm most of what the show said about him.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Ew.
I did look him up. I was like, I need to know if this is real.
Yeah, I was looking at everybody up. The sisters, everybody.
Yeah.
The boyfriends, husbands, all of them. Speaking of which, I did have one gripe, and it's just a gripe I have in general. Stop trying to sell me on T.I. as an actor. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't see that.
When he popped up, I was
like what? Him? Why? You could have got anyone else for this small role.
Seriously, who could have played him with so much more nuance?
Yeah,
you know?
And I, like, his own acting ability or lack thereof, depending on who you ask aside, I mean, he's kind of gross in real life and shouldn't be in things anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this was filmed, but I feel like the stuff that's known about T.I. has been out for a while now.
I'm at this point now where I'm like, when I find out that someone's got like an allegation or something against them, I'm like, I'm not going to take a stance on this because I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend that I know. However, from his own admission, he's got some kind of repugnant things in his past about, like, you know, the way he treats his daughter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's like from his own mouth. That's not speculation.
Yeah.
But for the sake of watching this and actually just enjoying it, I'm going to just try to watch you as an actor. And my God, I thought he was doing a French Stewart impression. He was fucking squint.
Yeah.
Through this whole thing.
Like, yeah.
That was his acting. I'm going to squint and slightly curl my lip.
Yeah. He is not a great actor. I don't know why they got him.
Oh, speaking of we haven't talked about the star of the show, Cynthia Erivo. We know what she can do when it comes to singing. I mean, Bad Times at the El Royale, and she sang at the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
She could sing.
Oh, yeah. And this was her singing, wasn't it?
She got Tonys for The Color Purple, so, like, that was a showcase anytime. Like, I don't know how much was Aretha and how much was Cynthia. Shout out to the sound editors, whoever made that work, because I couldn't tell the distinction. Mm-hmm. There's one musical performance. If, when you watch it, I think it's like at the end of episode 5, I believe.
Yeah.
I damn near gave a single ovation on my laptop. I was like, God damn, give her the Golden Globes and the Emmys, which I'm sure she'll sweep next year.
This has got to be an easy award grabber.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because she is a very talented singer in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did look it up. apparently she did do, the exception being at the end.
Okay.
Where they actually bring in Aretha. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when they do. But that is not a fault of Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah.
Because she may not sound very much like Aretha Franklin vocal-wise, but my God, does she invoke that passion when she sings.
Oh, she
and
awesome.
That is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. She's got that power.
Woo!
It's kind of like with Joaquin Phoenix, where he played Johnny Cash, right. Where I was like, he doesn't look or sound like
it's the essence.
But he totally knows how to invoke that character, right. Yeah. And that character's voice. I can't compliment her enough. I thought it was amazing.
And you can tell that she at least tried to inflect some of those, I wouldn't even know how to describe it, kind of nasally inflections that Aretha had when she would get way up there with those notes and it would just get kind of pinched.
Yeah.
I heard a little bit of that, so she was definitely trying.
And especially in her acting as Aretha, you know, because Aretha, when you watch her interview, she's very, kind of like Cynthia did in the show, she's very succinct. She's very, you know, mm-hmm. I said what I said, I'm not going to repeat myself. That's what it is. And that's
queen.
Yeah, that's why she's a queen. She'll talk shit about anybody. I said what I said. That's it. And Cynthia kind of had that same energy when it came to playing this role, because Aretha had to deal with men, family, you know, racism, just the scene of the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
She really had to have some cojones. Like, look, I'm producing this album.
Yeah.
I'm singing gospel. I'm singing pop. If you don't like it, get out of my studio.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
And I thought Cynthia nailed that, just tough as nails, like,
yeah.
That vulnerability, but that sternness, and that's kind of what kept me watching, just to see how she's going to take command next.
In regards to, Elliot, what you were saying about how you thought that there was, like, an episode's worth of stuff that could have been cut, I actually kind of do agree with you there.
Yeah.
I think it was around the middle where I thought, okay, I feel like it's trying to sell me on this particular point, and I'm not going to say what it is, because God knows there's, like, 8 episodes worth of lots and lots of material. Towards the middle of her life, she started getting into political activism pretty mm-hmm. strongly. And I think if there's a really weak point of this, it's that it feels like they got into that so quickly,
right.
Just because the script says that they should.
Mm-hmm.
But you're never clear as to actually why she's being driven to this and what is motivating her beyond the series just telling you, oh no, she's just really into this now. And then it ends so quickly where I was like, okay, so what ultimately was the point of all that? It kind of feels like that was opened and shut just for the sake of being like, okay, we addressed that.
They made it kind of seem like a phase for her almost.
Yeah, by the way, she did this, moving on.
It felt like that scene in Dewey Cox when it was the 60s and it just like went there real quick. It's like, yeah, the 60s were a turbulent, important time. Moving on from that now.
Anyway.
That's exactly how it felt.
I mean, I can definitely understand why she would want to, you know, support some of the things that she did as a Black woman with a platform at the time. But yeah, they didn't really show I think a proper setup for it, and just in terms of the language of film, that, you know, she had this kind of spirit within her as a child or a teenager, things like that. It just kind of almost, yeah, comes out of nowhere and is shown very strongly and then just burns out almost immediately and is rarely ever talked about again. And it's like, well, no, that was really good. Bring that back. Let's tell people that she was more than just this. That's like, you know, discovering that Hedy Lamarr helped develop Bluetooth technology. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But they just dropped it.
They name drop Angela Davis, but that was actually like a whole sort of thing that they really could have gone into. I mean, it would have been an aside, but this is kind of a series full of asides, and I think that would have been a more interesting one to explore than some of the other stuff.
I would have rather seen more about that, a whole extra episode about that, rather than the documentary that they shot inside the church. For me, that episode dragged on a little bit, because it was just kind of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of those.
Oh, like damn near every episode is like, hey, we're gonna go back to Little Aretha.
Yeah, it's set up in one of those formats where it tells two stories going on at the same time.
They were trying to do the Godfather Part 2 thing of having parallel storylines and kind of giving equal weight to each, and they really, I think they should have treated the flashbacks more as just flashbacks and kind of kept them in concentrated bursts.
I actually really did love that they split this into two. I know that a lot of this is not a new technique with biopics. It's very, very common to do this. It's so that you don't have to go from child to teenager to adult, and that way they can explore them a little more fully. But I think the actress who plays her when she's younger is a phenomenal young actress.
Oh, she was incredible.
She's dynamite. Mm-hmm.
And she sold that character to me in that part of her life with all the emotional baggage that she was carrying, just as much as Cynthia Erivo did later. And I actually didn't even realize this until a few episodes in. I thought that that was actually very deliberate, because every time that they do one of the musical numbers with Cynthia Erivo, where she is singing one of, you know, Aretha Franklin's many great songs, they always tend to kind of pair them up with a specific moment of her younger life.
Yeah.
And there's a moment in here where one of her producers says she's exercising her demons when she does this, to where you feel like she is personally drawing from this point of her life to bring out this emotional release with the performance that she's doing. And I felt that every time she did it.
Right. It was cathartic.
Oh, Very cathartic. And I feel like that was absolutely on purpose, especially in the church episode, where she is really, really delving deep into her relationship with her father and her relationship with her mother and all these things that I can't really go into because there's just so much detail there. But when she sings in that episode, that to me was the moment where I was like, she is Aretha Franklin while she's doing this.
Right. And we've seen that technique work well, splitting, like, I hate to use the gold standard of biopics, but Ray is my favorite example of that.
This show feels like it has a lot of Ray in it. Like, it's,
I feel like every biopic post Ray has stolen just a little bit of Ray. Because, like, I always go back to him, you know, dealing with his relationship with his mother, him going blind and as a child, and him dealing with that versus him in his 20s and 30s being blind and fame and drugs. And we've all seen Ray. But watching this, it took me back to that, but just on a different level of, you know, being a child and being exposed to this life versus being an adult and handling the repercussions of this said life. And as much as the flashbacks dragged, when they kicked, like when she's, little Ree is singing in the church, that's when it was just like really like something special to watch for me.
And there was one moment there that not only was super powerful because of her singing, but the cinematography was really cool, where they had this spinning shot going around her, and this was in black and white, and then she starts to glow in color, and as the camera continues to spin, she almost like leaves the color behind her, and I was like, that was really cool looking.
That was rad. I was like, wow, who do that?
I liked that. I was afraid, though, that they were going to do like a Schindler's List thing, where like she was going to be the only person in color, and everybody was going to be black and white. I was like, please don't do that.
Bad taste.
But thank God they didn't do that.
Should we rate this bad boy or what?
Yeah, let's get into final thoughts. Melina, what did you think?
Like I said, I liked it when I first was watching the first few episodes. And there was that episode in the middle where it was kind of starting to lose me because I just thought that they didn't develop it well enough. But then right after that, the episode where they do the whole thing about the documentary concert film, which was little trivia, directed by Sydney Pollack, that was the moment where for the first time in the whole thing, I was like, Cynthia Erivo, she just totally embodied Aretha Franklin in a way where I was just sitting there with like tears running down my face watching her. And from then on, I thought it just had me the whole time. And I think the relationships that it explores, it's not perfect, but I really do appreciate that they actually touched on a lot of them. In a lesser document or a lesser miniseries, I don't think they would have even have tried to go into that much character depth, but they did. And I really loved it for that. Complaints that I have with it, I would say, are nitpicks. I didn't like the transfer back and forth from the black and white to the color in early scenes. I just thought that was a little weird. There were a few moments where I thought that Cynthia Erivo was playing it so stoic that I was kind of like, could you please frickin' emote? But then when she did, she nailed it. So for all my complaints, I think this is more than the sum of its parts, and I really, really loved it. So I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 really cool looking 70s dresses.
Oh, boy, howdy. There was a lot of them.
Oh, my God. They were gorgeous. So, Genius Aretha, this being the third in National Geographic series, hope they do more. Pros, Cynthia Erivo is fantastic. That voice is unparalleled. She, when she goes on as Aretha, she gives it all she's got and just leaves it all out there. So, like, I can't wait for, like, someone to make a compilation on YouTube just her singing these. Hopefully there's a soundtrack of her covering all these, because she did a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
Secondly, Courtney B. Vance, like we said, one of the standouts in anything he touches. This character in particular being a very challenging, complex, like Melina said, a Game of Thrones-esque character. You don't know if you want to root for him, you want to hate him, but you end up doing a little bit of both at the end. And he was one of my favorite parts of the show. David Cross, we didn't mention him. He was great as Jerry Wexler.
He was really good.
Yeah. How did we forget him?
The guy, David Cross. Shout out to David Cross. He was incredible. I really love seeing him pop up anything. Just the supporting cast of a bunch of new faces, a bunch of familiar faces. The sisters, of course, they were great. So can I be mean now? Yes. Cons. we're going to go with T.I., of course, because we got to stop thinking T.I. can act and everything. Other than that, I couldn't find a lot to complain about. I had a great time watching it as a music nerd, seeing the story. Because I wasn't too familiar with the Aretha story, I'll be honest with you. I knew of her songs and, you know, I loved her cameo in Blues Brothers. But this was the first time I'd really got to see a real side, well, real-ish side of Aretha's legacy and story. So,
same.
And the only thing I can say after that is I hope we get a genius Jimi Hendrix season next. So with that in mind, I'm going to give this season of Genius Aretha 8.5 really beautiful piano riffs. Because Aretha was an underrated pianist. Not a lot of people knew that. She was incredible.
She was.
All right, Elliot?
I definitely liked this more than I didn't. I think a lot of the acting really carries this series, although Melina, I agree. I think that Cynthia Erivo is sometimes maybe a little too pulled back. You know, I don't know where she lies and sort of what percent actor. I think she's definitely more of a singer or came up singing before doing acting.
Yeah, she was Broadway, I believe.
Because her singing is absolutely phenomenal in this.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of biopics where they really... Just about every musical number is done in full
in
this series. There's a lot of long, extended musical numbers. And they use really cool, interesting cinematography. I really did appreciate that. I'd almost love like a supercut of the performances in here.
Oh, there will be one.
I also like David Cross. I like his character, Nebushi Jewish producer number 57. But that really is who Jerry Wexler was.
Every biopic's got him.
But he's so good at it.
Was it just me or did it sound like his nose was stuffed up? Maybe that was just part of the accent coming out, but he always sounded like he was like pinching his nose when he was talking.
You gotta be really Jewish for this one.
Yeah. I think that's just David Cross.
Yeah, true.
They go to Muscle Shoals early in the series, and I'm just going to use this as a chance to shout out the documentary Muscle Shoals about that group of musicians that she plays with. That is actually a really quite a good documentary, and those guys played with a lot of famous R&B and Americana blues people.
Cool.
Highly recommend that one.
Right on.
I definitely wanted more about her involvement in the civil rights movement and kind of racism in general. I felt like past a certain point, past the 60s, that kind of fell away, and they weren't talking about that. And that, you know, it still hasn't gone away today, so.
It hasn't?
Definitely no reason
to. What? Get out of here.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I feel so bad to keep interrupting you.
But, you know, again, there's just so much to like in this. It looks beautiful. It's, if you love the music of Aretha like I do, you know, you're just going to be nodding your head the entire time. Yeah, so I'm going to have to give this 7.5 out of 10 mentions of Franz Fanon.
Yeah, I very much liked it. I did find it kind of a slog at times. After the 7th or 8th entire musical number, I was like, all right, come on. Yeah, it was nice to hear some of the songs that I either hadn't heard before or just to see them performed live. But yeah, I don't think that every single one of her songs that they displayed needed to be done in full. I did get kind of annoyed with that after a little while. And I found some other pacing problems, things just dragged on a little too long and weren't all that terribly interesting, just smaller scenes. I was like, all right, move on. But other than that, yeah, a fascinating look at an equally fascinating person that I thought more or less they pulled off pretty well. I mean, the concerns of her family regarding it are certainly valid, and I'd like to see how much it differs from the upcoming theatrical film.
I agree.
Yeah.
But for what they set out to do, just to tell Aretha Franklin's story, I think they, you know, did a great job, and it was entertaining enough to keep me captivated through 8 hours of it. I think I'm going to give it 7.5 dramatic dropped doll shots out of 10.
There were a few.
A couple, yeah. And there was one of them where I was just like, she's going to drop it. Oh my God, this is so silly. Come on, you guys. This is so stereotypical.
MLK shows up in this briefly, and he's the subject of the next season.
Oh, is he
Genius.
Now?
Do you think you're going to use the same actor? Are we going to get some like Genius cinematic universe going on here?
It's an anthology series, so I'm like, okay, are we going to get like an American Horror Story treatment where in season 6 it's MLK with Picasso, Einstein, and Aretha, where they're basically taking down the Nazis?
Mark Twain comes in and is like, I'm here to talk to you about the Genius Initiative.
I mean, I would watch the hell out of that.
I'm interested. I'm sold.
MLK will return.
Oh my God.